Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we are in your presence this morning as the body of Christ. Our desire is to come and worship you, O Lord Jesus, in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord God, come and meet us here this morning. Come and fill our hearts with a desire, O God, to connect with you, to worship the one true God. O Lord God, come and be with your people, even as we dedicate our hearts, our souls to you this morning as we live for you. Thank you, God, for being our God, that we are your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Change. Who likes change? Put up your hand if you're someone who actually likes changes in your life. Really? And those who don't like changes, put up your hand. Well, I know that if I was to reflect on my own life, I'd probably say that I'm more a creature of habit. I'm more of keeping to the tried and true than trying to thrive on changes all the time. Is there something wrong with the mic? Should I just be doing something else instead? Okay, all right. So for instance, I go to the same restaurants all the time. When we lived in North Vancouver about 8 years ago, there was this one Japanese restaurant that we went to all the time, like literally. Every other week we would spend time eating there on a Friday night. So what would happen generally is that I would call Deb. I would ask her late Friday afternoon. I would call her. I'd just say one word to her. I'd say, Hanjin? And that's the name of the restaurant that we go to all the time. And her response to me all the time was, again? You know, but the food was decent. The price was good. It felt comfortable being there. Is that something you can relate to? Or how about coming to church and sitting in the same seat every Sunday, week after week, Sunday after Sunday? That is your seat. Andy, that's your seat. And if someone sits in it, you would give them the look. You would give them the evil eye. Our family went to Seattle many years ago, and we thought that we would visit a church while we were there. So like most visitors, you get to church early. That's the only time you get to church early, when you're visiting another church. Because you're not familiar with the parking situation, how the arrangement is at church. And so after we parked, we got there, and we brought our son, Chris, who was young at the time, to the teens worship. And so we settled him down there while we went into the main sanctuary. You know, it was huge. The sanctuary was twice the size of this, at least. And there were plenty of seats because we were about half an hour early, remember? After we got seated and people started arriving, there was this couple that literally walked down this aisle. And as they walked down the aisle, they stopped at where we were sitting, at the row where we were sitting. And they start looking around, trying to find something. So we start looking around our seats to see if they left something behind. But it turns out that they were not looking for anything in particular. They were trying to find their seats, and they realized we were sitting in their seats. It's one of those churches that was such a large auditorium that it had row numbers and seat numbers on the arm of the seat and as well as on the chairs. So they knew exactly where they're supposed to sit. They were staring at us because we were in their seats. Well, they finally settled after about a minute at another location across the aisle. But we were so thrown off by the situation that we just quietly left the sanctuary and went to join Chris in the teens worship. We had a great time. The speaker was inspiring. The worship was dynamic. And we were jumping up and down like a teen worshiping the Lord. It's hard for us to change sometimes, isn't it? We like things the way that they are because it's comfortable for us. We say things like, remember when? Now, those were the good old days.
But change is healthy. Change is normal. It's normal for growth. It's normal for growth to take place. Without it, we remain the same. It's not healthy to keep things the way that they are. When Chris was young, when he was a baby, we thought to ourselves, if only things can remain this way forever. If only we can just bottle him up and have him remain the same way. Wouldn't it be great? But if imagine if our son was to remain this way, as in the photo, but he's all grown up in a man's body, how would he look like then? Or if Deb remained as a child all her life. She's definitely a late bloomer. Or myself, if I remained this way and never smiled my whole life. I don't know why I never smiled as a kid. But now we're adults. We're no longer like that. But imagine if we were like that. Sorry, I'm not good at photoshopping. Someone could have done a much better job. I just slapped it together. Imagine if we were to remain like that. Wouldn't it be awkward? Wouldn't it be strange? Wouldn't it be unhealthy? Question I want to ask you this morning is this. What keeps us from seeing what God wants to do? What keeps us from seeing what God wants to do? Isaiah, in prophesying for God, said this in Isaiah 43, verse 16. See, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. What keeps me? What keeps us from seeing what God is doing? Maybe it's expecting to just look like the way that it has all the time. Expecting it to look just like what he's done in the past. So it could be that we're looking for God to part the Red Sea again. Because that's what he did the last time. You know, sometimes the greatest obstacle for us to seeing what God is doing now is focusing on what he used to do. Because we keep on looking for the same thing, that we miss out on what God is doing right now and what he wants to do right now. Forget not his faithfulness, brothers and sisters, but forget the form that it came in. God is doing a new thing. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? It springs forth from out of the ground. You see, we cannot limit God to just one way of doing things or just to remember his deeds from of old. It's good to reminisce and it's good to reflect on the things that God did. But as good as things were in the past, God wants us to focus on the things that he's doing now and to follow him now. Yes, it's true. That's God's character does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But his way of doing things will change. Now, we have a dynamic and a living relationship with God. We don't have a static or dormant relationship with him. So remember the past, but do not live in the past. The Israelites, they loved the story of how God performed a miracle for them when there seemed to be no way out. With their backs against the water and the Egyptian army barreling down on them with swords and spears and chariots and horses. Then, by parting the Red Sea, and causing the water to stand up like walls on either side, the Lord saved them and delivered them while destroying the Egyptian army. They loved that story. And who doesn't? Because it reminded them of the deliverance, because God made a way through the waters. Here in Isaiah says, this time the Lord is going to make a way, but he will not make a way through the waters. This time the Lord will make a way in the wilderness. It will be in the wilderness that the Lord will reveal himself and his power to his people, and he will be their God. You see, David understood these things about God. This is why he went to listen to God for the Lord's strategies in order to fight his enemies. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 19, it says this, "And David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand.' And so the Lord gave victory to David and the Israelites. Eventually, the Philistines returned another time, and David inquired again." Now, isn't that interesting? The Philistines come one time, and David talks to God and says, "Do you want me to fight them?" God says, "Go straight ahead and fight them." The following spring, when kings would go to battle, the Philistines came up the exact same way. And so you would expect that David would have said, "Well, you know, I know what the Lord said last time. Let's do it again." But he didn't. He didn't assume it would be the same answer. And David was correct. You see, this time, the Lord gave David a different strategy, a new strategy. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, just a few verses later, it says, "And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, 'You shall not go up. Go around to their rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees.'" It was a different strategy, a different plan, with the same enemy in the same location. So what does that mean for us as a church? Well, what it means is that we don't change for change's sake, or we don't change in order to be different, but we need to change as the Lord directs us in order to minister effectively in our world today. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 to 17, it says this, Jesus talked about new wineskins, and he said this, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." You see, sometimes the new work of God cannot be contained in old or outdated forms. If we're to see a new work of God, we will need to adjust our expectations and not try to contain the new in the form of the old. Used wineskins have already been stretched as far as it can, and it will burst otherwise, because the gases produced in the fermentation of that original wine has already stretched it. And so new wineskins are for new wine in order for the wineskin to accommodate expansion and change. So first, we need to realize that God orchestrates the change and not us. God orchestrates the change, not us. You see, we don't begin with asking ourselves what we think needs to be changed. Jesus spent much time in prayer to hear and to see what the Father was doing. John chapter 5, verse 19 says this, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For example, Jesus spent the entire night praying before he chose his disciples. On another occasion, he was praying early in the morning when his disciples came looking for him to say that people were waiting for him to minister to them. Instead, he responded that he needed to go and preach in other places as well, as the Father had directed him. Philip was having a successful evangelistic campaign in Samaria when he heard an angel of the Lord tell him to leave that place and go to the desert of all places. And it was there that he met the Ethiopian eunuch, an African eunuch, whom he led to Christ. You see, the Lord is always doing a new thing. He's always doing a new thing in our lives. But we cannot experience it or fully benefit from it if we're not in a position to receive it. In fact, we may even suffer from these new things. We aren't ready to receive it from God. Jesus said that old wineskins will burst when new wine is poured into them. What this means is that old mindsets will not be able to handle the new and the needed changes that are from God. The disciples were able to handle Jesus' teaching, the new wine, the new covenant, because they were new wineskins. The Pharisees had a set of rules that were so rigid that if anyone did not align with their interpretation of Scripture, with their way of doing things, which was based more on tradition than anything else, they were wrong. We've got to become new wineskins if we want to receive and embrace new revelations from God. And what new wineskins really mean is that it means a readiness on our part for the new things of God. If we want to become this, we need to leave our comfort zones, to trade in what we find familiar or trustworthy for something that can only be done through faith in God. We need to put aside all the limitations, all the limiting perceptions that we have about God, what he can or what he cannot do. We need to trust and follow his word by faith. The Lord says to his people in Isaiah 43, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." You see, Jesus began with just 12 disciples. And after Pentecost, after the filling of the Spirit, the Jerusalem church began to grow and to mature. And then the Holy Spirit pushed the church out of Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Acts chapter 6, they learned how to deal with the internal problems as it resolved the whole widow issue amongst them. In Acts chapter 9, they learned that Gentiles were to be included in the kingdom of God as well. So when Peter had his vision about God showing him this, that he was to follow him in this, he also followed and went to visit Cornelius' house. And many people came to faith as a result of what happened in this change, in this revelation. In Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit sent out the first missionaries to Gentile countries. In Acts chapter 15, the people of God learned how to resolve problems associated with cross-cultural missions. You see, brothers and sisters, the church should never remain the same. It should never be said in and of a church, "We've always done it this way." Change is the non-negotiable cause and consequence of renewal. Without it, we become stale, we become stagnant, we become frozen in time, ineffective in ministering to our world. The challenge, however, is that many people do not like change. Most people do not like change. We'd rather keep things the way that they are. We don't see a need to change. But if our non-biblical mandate traditions are unalterable because we feel so comfortable with them, or because we've always done it this way, it will keep us from being renewed as a church. So first, we need to realize that God orchestrates the change and not us. And then second, we need to keep in step with the Spirit. It says in Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know, it could be that God wants the church to move in a different direction. Or perhaps he wants the church to take on a ministry that they have not been involved with before. The Spirit of God guides us to more and more steps of faith in him. On his missionary journeys, Paul listened to and was led by the Lord's strategies as he advanced the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10, it says this, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let me ask you this. Was there anything intrinsically wrong with going to minister in Asia and Bithynia? No. There's nothing wrong with choosing a place to minister. Paul was willing to lay down his life in order to witness. Now, would he have led some people to Christ? Yes, he probably would have, as he did so everywhere that he went. So there was nothing intrinsically wrong with doing that. However, the Holy Spirit had another plan, which included another continent, and that was Europe. But they didn't know that until after they obeyed. And so this is how the gospel actually entered into Europe. God sometimes speaks to me about the strategies that he wants me to implement in order to advance his kingdom. A couple years ago, when I first became the senior pastor of Fraserlands Church, I was praying. I was on my sabbatical. And during those 3 months, I was praying and asking God what he wanted me to do. How do you want me to lead this church, Lord? And I sensed him saying to me that he wants our church to be renewed. That we need to be renewed personally, relationally, and spiritually. You see, once we know that God wants us to change something, the what, then we need to know the timing, the when. It's not just the what that's important, what to change, but the how and the when that's even more important, perhaps. You know, sometimes we have to go very slowly. We cannot rush the process. We have to leave it in God's hands. We must not force the issue. We go along at the pace that the Holy Spirit is moving, and we need to be patient. Because the Lord is working out many things behind the scenes that we may not be aware of. At other times, the Lord will want us to change things very quickly. And we must be ready to move when he guides us and when he tells us to move so that we do not lag behind. When we change something, when the Lord tells us to do so, that obedience turns into huge blessings for us, even though we may not recognize it at first. We need to move when the Spirit of God directs us to do so. And it's also then that we also need to obey as well. Fraserlands, I'm so encouraged to see that approximately half of our church now has taken the Hearing God seminar. and that you're actively pursuing a more intimate and personal relationship with God. It also fills my heart with joy also to see that our monthly prayer summits are well attended, and that we're gradually becoming a church of prayer, a house of prayer for all nations, and that signs of renewal are taking place. You know, people are becoming more intimate with God. They're being more reconciled with others. They're desiring to be transformed by the Spirit. These are all good things. However, as good as these things are, I sense the Lord saying something to me. I sense the Lord saying that renewal leads to mission. We cannot just stay where we are. Our desire cannot just to be renewed personally, relational, and spiritually and do nothing with that. Renewal leads us to mission. I want to go back and share some things that I shared at the last AGM that we had last year. You know, we're trying to focus on the spiritual practice of church renewal. And we've been doing so through personal renewal, our intimacy with God. We've been doing so through relational renewal, our reconciliation with others. We've been doing so through spiritual renewal, actually being transformed by the Spirit. These are things that our church has been doing this past year. I give praise and thanks to God for that. But we need to move from being renewed to mission, to being a loving presence of Christ in our neighborhoods, to move towards a deeper community and a more radical hospitality, to move towards greater diversity and neighborhood engagement, to move towards justice for the least. You see, renewal and mission, they go hand in hand. It's not either or, but it's both and. Both renewal, which another word for that is actually deeper life, and mission. Both the spiritual practices of church renewal and being a loving presence of Christ in our neighborhoods. You know, after all, isn't that what God's greatest commandments to us are in the Bible? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Could actually go on, but I think I'm watching the time, and I do have time to actually preach another mini sermon at the AGM. I have 25 minutes allotted to me, so I think I'll save the rest for later. But I want to encourage you, church. Pursue the things of God. Pursue intimacy with Him. Pursue being reconciled with others. If you have something that's not right between you and a spouse or a family member or a brother and sister in Christ, pursue these things. Pursue intimacy with the Lord Himself, with the Spirit of God. Do not be afraid of the things that the Spirit of God comes. Pursue that. But after having done that, after having been renewed or found that deeper life in Christ, we cannot stay the way that we are. God did not mean for us to just be renewed, period. Our renewal leads us to mission. Our renewal leads us to praying for our neighbors. It leads us to ask God, you know, to do things that we would never think possible in our families. Renewal causes us to go out and to be used by God, so that others can see that we live a transformed life, a renewed life. That's what the apostles, the disciples, saints through the ages have done. They were renewed by the Spirit of God, but they went out and did things for the Lord as a result of that. I'm going to, at our AGM later on, in about half an hour's time, I'm going to ask you to consider this. I'm going to take a bit of a step of faith during the AGM. When I talk about the new works of God in our midst, and I ask you a few questions, I'll ask you questions like, who of you in the past year have experienced intimacy with God to a different level? I'm going to ask you as well, who of you have actually experienced God's healing in your life? God's healing, whether it be physical, emotional, relational, or spiritual. I'm going to ask you, who of you have desired more for the things of God because he is moving in your life and giving you a hunger and thirst? And if you sense that God would want you to give him glory when I ask you those questions at our AGM, would you be as bold when I asked you to stand? To stand where you're seated at that time so that all glory and honor could go to God for the good work he's doing in our lives and so that we can encourage one another to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us your heart. Your heart is so big, oh God. And our desire is that not only do you stretch us so that we become new wineskins, our desire, oh Lord Jesus, is that you stretch our heart. Stretch our heart, oh Lord God. So that we can sense and know the things of God and not just the things of men. So that our eyesight, our earsight, our desires, our striving fors in life are not limited to human endeavors or things that can be easily done if we try hard. Lord, stretch our heart, stretch our mind, stretch our being. So we can be used by you to do things we've never thought possible before. Renew us, O God, so we can be on mission for you. Not just to far away places, distant lands. Renew us, O God, so we can be on mission for you every day of our lives. In the places that you have put us, with the neighbors that you let us live beside, with the co-workers that you surrounded us with neighbors and friends and colleagues. Lord God, help us to make decisions not based on, oh, it's comfortable. Oh, it's a Christian setting. Let's try to find employment there. Lord Jesus, move us, change us, transform us as a church. Stretch us, oh God, renew us. Give us the desire, oh God, to sit at your feet and to hear from you, to know what it is that you want us to do, and to give us the strategies and the timing of when to do those things. We thank you, God. We thank you for the body of Christ here. I thank you for each one, oh God. Speak to us even as we leave now, as we reconvene and gather in just a moment, oh God. Give us the mind of Christ when we gather together at the annual general meeting. May it not be our purposes and our desires that we talk about, but when we collectively, oh God, hear your heart for your people and move forward as one after our great shepherd. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We commit ourselves, our families, and our church to you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.